A defending champion, the most exciting team in college basketball, the Cinderella, and an unstoppable giant. That's the four teams left in the NCAA tournament. Final four upcoming Saturday and Monday. This is Sixth Year Seniors.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm
tired of losing to Purdue! I'm not here to round this week!
That's why I got a college student! That's why I was an All-American at Michigan!
It's Division I football! It's the Big 12!
Oh, there's so many ways to make love a million ways. I barely make it enough.
Go play intramurals, brother.
Oh, yeah.
I could give a shit about North Carolina right now.
Mikey, how you doing?
I've had better weekends, buddy.
Yeah, me too.
This is a bunch of bullshit. This is what that is.
Let's put it this way. During one of these games, I flipped over to the Oakland A's.
Which game? You told me this. Now I don't remember which game it was.
Well, I'll get to it when we get to it. But let's okay. Just say this tournament depressed me so much that I ended up watching the Oakland A's play baseball.
Oh, this is brutal.
And it's only going to get worse. The two semifinal games, both spreads are double digits or nearly double digits.
Yeah, it's there's a little bit of David and Goliath in both of these games, and it's probably a little more fun if you put the Davids on one side and the Goliaths on the other, but you know,
hey, I take that.
This is how it's supposed to play out, though. Your one and your two are supposed to meet in the final if everything goes as planned. One and two are there, but nothing else fucking went as planned this weekend, and I'm pissed about it.
Well, I'll just get this off my chest right now. If it's UConn and Purdue, I may not watch the final.
Look, we've been banging on Purdue all year long, and they finally break through. Let me tell you something. Zucchini versus Kling Kong. That's a main event in any building in the nation, Jess.
Yeah, but that's not going to be fun basketball.
It won't be, but it'll be competitive and it'll be a sight to see.
What was it, Creighton and Duke about 10, 15 years ago? Or was it Butler and Duke?
It was UConn and Butler. That's what
UConn and Butler.
The most unwatchable championship game in any format of all time.
I just have a fear that that's what this game is going to be like if it's Connecticut and Purdue.
Yeah, it won't be that bad. At least both teams are competent. Butler shot like 12% or something like that. it was insane. It's UConn and Purdue have been the best two teams all season long.
No, they haven't.
I don't want to hear your bullshit, all right? I do not want to hear it. Because your Houston Cougars shit the bed on Friday night, you put me through a goddamn weekend of absolute hell, damn it. Absolute.
Somehow, a Duke fan poured water on the court, causing Jamal Shedd to twist his ankle. God damn it. Couldn't believe that Houston was such a one-man team.
And they were still this close to beating Duke, but they were this close. They had the ball with a chance to tie late, but still
yeah,
at no
point. Yeah, but you knew they couldn't make a three.
At no point did you ever feel, yeah, you never felt like they actually had a chance. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's just jump into it. Let's start with UConn and work our way region to region. I've already worked into a shoot. I've been worked into a shoot since Thursday night. Y'all, this is what y'all paid to see. This is why you paid the money to download the show and all the. Wait, they don't pay anyone. What
the
hell? This is some bullshit too.
What the hell? What are you getting that I'm not?
I don't know. Drank too much rum on Sunday. Trying to be a good sport. God, I hate life.
UConn beats Illinois 77-52, going on a 30-0 run between late in the first half and God, it seemed like, till the end of the second half. Thanks for showing up, Illinois.
So here's the thing, and here's what's so scary. This is the first 30-0 run in Division I basketball in over 3 years. It was like January of 21 the last time somebody did this.
You're telling me that even Mississippi Valley State hasn't had a 30-0 run against them.
Exactly. Detroit didn't do it. Nothing. UConn did this against a top 10 team. I mean, we saw it against San Diego State. UConn, they've kind of slept through some of these first halves. And they'll be leading, but you can tell they're not. They flipped the switch against San Diego State. They flipped the switch against Illinois. I mean, flipping the switch is one of the greatest understatements of all time based on what they did. They went 25-0 to start the second half. I mean, Mike, what world does that happen?
Yeah, they dug a hole. They dug a grave for Illinois and just dropped them in there.
Yes. Oh, 100%. 100%. This was like the Boneyard match with Undertaker and AJ Styles.
Yes,
and
exactly.
and so UConn's the Undertaker, and I don't remember whoever AJ's goons were. Undertaker threw him off the building. That's what UConn did to Illinois. That's what UConn did to Illinois in the second half here. I mean, I had the game on and was kind of halfway watching it, and I don't remember what I did at halftime. I had to make a phone call, and I had to do one thing for the shoot job. And so I went upstairs, took care of my business. I got a cryptic text from the boy, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. Illinois is making a run here. Check the score. I'm like, oh, wait, no. They're not making a run. Went downstairs, and they literally scored the bucket to make it a 30-0 run as I came around the corner. Dear. And I mean, it was just like that. It was over. And there was no drama whatsoever. The only drama was whether Hurley's punk-ass kid would score in the final 2 minutes when they put him in garbage time. It was hilarious because every time he got the ball, the UConn fans screamed like little girls. It was like the Beatles coming over in the 60s. The girls are squealing. Oh, my God. We've got another generation of punk-ass Hurleys out here playing basketball. And he gets the little pump fake pass for the dunk, and the place goes crazy. Like, oh, Jesus Christ. Just absolutely, absolutely just intolerable. UConn runs away and just drops the hammer. What a shit kicking by UConn. I don't see any world where they don't win the title Monday night, but stranger things have happened.
Oh, I see a world. It may take Alabama shooting about 75% from three-point land, but Alabama can take out Connecticut simply because they might be able to get down the court faster than Connecticut can on defense. Of course, that means that they're going to have to stop Connecticut on a few occasions. But I could see this being like the classic 145-114 Loyola Marymount Michigan game. That's what Alabama needs to be able to beat Connecticut. They just need to just start throwing up threes. Throw up 53s. Throw up 53s. If you make 25, hey, that's good.
You got a shot, yeah. I am with you on this. I do think if UConn loses this weekend, it's on Saturday. If they get to Monday night,
yeah,
it's over. I don't think Purdue's got anything for him. Edie's great, but UConn's got a guy that can at least somewhat neutralize him. And the talent at the other four spots, it's advantage Huskies. So yeah,
exactly.
Like I said, I like the idea of Alabama turning it into a track meet. Are we ready to go there to the West? Because I've got some comments on that related to your comments about Alabama versus UConn.
Close. Let's just say UConn now, it's 10 games in a row where they have won in double digits in the NCAA tournament. They are favored by 11.5 points against Alabama. Hmm. So to cover the spread, they would need their 11th straight double-digit victory. 11.5 points.
That's wild.
Also, let's talk about the Illinois semifinal game or Elite Eight game real quick. They built a 10-point halftime lead, and I texted you at halftime. I said, watch.
You called
Illinois is going to struggle the entire second half, but somehow pull this game out. Man, they struggled even worse than I thought they would. It seemed to all fall on that Iowa State missed breakaway layup that could have made the game 51-51. And somehow that ball rolls off the rim and into Illinois' hands. I think they scored in the next possession down to get back up by four. But Illinois tried really hard to lose that game to Iowa State.
Yeah, I missed all of that. There were other more important happenings going on at the same time. But you absolutely nailed that. Absolutely nailed it.
So, yeah, let's go to the West, where Alabama gets to the Final Four by beating Clemson 89-82. And all that slop in the last minute got the game over the total.
Thanks, Clemson. All you had to do, top 10 free throw shooting team in the nation, best free throw shooting team in the ACC, and Clemson can't make a free throw to save their life in the second half of a regional final. Way to go, Tigers. Appreciate that. Appreciate you, showing up. Good grief. Jumped him out of the gate, but couldn't handle the pressure and wilted down the stretch. And God, that's the frustrating thing about playing Bama. They've got five guys that could shoot the deep ball, and when they get going, man, it's just started 1 for 13. I think they shot like 55% after that during the rest of the game. It was something ridiculous. I don't know.
There was that 7-minute stretch in the second half. My God, they couldn't miss.
Mark Sears is annoying as shit, and I would love to see UConn knock him on his ass sometime Saturday. I ain't gonna lie. He hits the three, and he looks like fucking Sammy Sosa after a home run, with the bat flip, pound the chest, kiss, wave to the crowd, do a little shimmy, the whole thing. Come on, just let's play basketball. Jesus Christ.
Well, and they all do that now, which is really infuriating because all of them.
He's extra bad about it.
Yeah, but they all have the ability to, miss 12 in a row. And then they'll start doing their pomp and circumstance after they hit their first one after 12 misses. It's like, dude, come on. If you're going to act like Steph Curry, at least make more than 20% of your shots.
Clemson.
I mean, that is the picture-perfect Bill Simmons irrational confidence right there.
They've got a ton of irrational confidence guys on that Bama team. And when they get going, they get going, and that's how they got to the Final Four. It's how they got to the regional final in the first place. Let's get right into it. Bama upsets my Tar Heels in the Sweet 16, 89-87. Carolina scores 54 points in the first half. More than they matched Duke's entire game against Houston. they almost matched Marquette's entire game against NC State. Yeah, I was worked up about this shit. They scored more than Duke and Houston combined for in the first half. I mean, it was just one thing after another. And then Carolina goes cold in the second half, and Bama gets, they start hitting these shots. Grant Nelson, who his $2 haircut looks like he came out of Deliverance, he randomly goes off. He scored
He's from North Dakota. He did come from Deliverance.
There you go. He scored 6 points in the first two games, goes for 24 in the Sweet 16. All of a sudden can't miss. But, Bama leads by five going into the final TV timeout, and Carolina makes the run. It reminded me of the 2017 game against Arkansas, where Arkansas had top seed Carolina on the ropes down going into the final break, and Carolina closed them out with a 12-0 run. And it felt the same way. Here comes Carolina. They get up by three, and it all falls apart in the final 90 seconds. It's... I'll call out my privilege here. I've been cheering for a team that saw Fred Brown throw the ball away to James Worthy. I've been a fan of the team that saw their opponent call a timeout when there was no timeouts left to take. And there's been all sorts of other weird stuff that Carolina opponents have done over the years that's just doing stupid stuff down the stretch. Carolina's usually the poised team. But when Jalen Withers pulled up that three-pointer with 15 on the shot clock, with 1:02 left, and four other guys I would rather have shooting the ball in that spot on the floor at the same damn time, it took everything in my power not to sling my iPhone as hard as I could across the living room through the plasma TV on the wall in my living room.
Well, at least it was an iPhone.
That is not the shot to take.
But he was open.
He shot 21% on the year. If you're if you're open with 15, if you're open with 2 seconds left on the shot clock, yes, take it. If you're open with 15 minutes left in the game, yes, take it. You're open. You can't take that shot with a minute left and 15 seconds on the shot clock. With the season on the line, you can't do it. It wasn't even close. Bama goes down, and Withers fouls Nelson on the other end to get the three-point play. Bama goes ahead, and Carolina's offense goes into the toilet on the final possession. Can't get a shot off. Davis gets blocked, and a shot clock violation and everything. And just all the poise we had seen from Carolina in those close games back in January just goes out the door, and Bama steals the final four away from my Tar Heels. Because Carolina would beat Clemson by 15 points. I'll tell you that right now. But here we are. That's the tournament's stupid. Basketball's stupid. This podcast is stupid. And you're stupid.
Hey, wait. Now.
Yes, you're catching strays here. I don't give a shit.
Stupid has Alabama at 80-1 to win this goddamn tournament. That ain't stupid.
Jesus Christ.
Actually, I think it's 90-1.
Good God.
And the thing is, I can't hedge it anyway. No. Connecticut is minus 195 to win the entire tournament. They're like minus 580 to beat Bama. There's no way I can hedge this.
No, not at all. But I think that Bama's got a better chance to beat UConn than either team on the other side, just because of that crazy, irrational confidence offense. And that's how Bama beat Carolina. Bama got him into a track meet in the first half, and Carolina's hitting threes. It's like, hey, great, we could do this, we could do it. And then they got suckered into the fool's gold in the second half, and that's what happened. If Alabama can sucker UConn into getting into a track meet, they've got a chance, but it's their only chance. If UConn can control the tempo, it's going to be a grind. It's going to be ugly, and UConn's going to win this game by 20 points, and it won't even feel that close.
Well, they've got to sucker them into a track meet, but they've also got to make a few stops, because Alabama can't run the ball if they're constantly taking it out from behind their own basket.
Sure, absolutely.
It's not like they're going to blow out Connecticut. But at the same time, the chances of them winning a game 100-98 is pretty slim. They're going to have to win it like 100-92. Because if Connecticut is close in the final 4 minutes, Connecticut has the talent to be able to make Alabama make mistakes. Alabama's got to win the game before the 4 minute break. That's essentially it.
That's fair. I could buy that. We got Nate Oates, you know, murder accomplice going to the Final Four. That's a real nice system we got here. That's great. We don't care about what guys are doing when they're off campus. It's not practice, anything like that. Come on, what an asshole.
Well, you know, hey, Brandon's in the NBA now. He's got somebody else to carry his gun. He's got somebody else to carry his buddy's guns for him.
Yeah, boy. How do we get robbed of the Carolina Caleb Love Bowl in Los Angeles? Clemson knocks off Arizona in the Sweet 16 too, and just let Arizona, you know, just, and Caleb Love in particular, just shoot him out of the game. Arizona, they could have driven to the basket every possession in that second half, and they were getting a whistle every time, and they just stopped with about 10 minutes left, and I have no idea why.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on during this tournament, and especially these last two rounds, where guys would drive to the basket, and instead of taking the layup, pass it out for a three-pointer, which was then missed. And it's like, come on, guys, you're not making three-pointers. Drive to the basket, just get the foul, if nothing else. Get some contact, because you're not making your threes.
They were calling the whistles, too, in that Clemson-Arizona game. And again, they started why? It was like five straight possessions. Arizona drove to the basket and got a whistle. It's like, oh, it's going to be like this. All right, well, just keep driving to the basket. And then they just stopped for whatever reason. I will never understand why. Just like the Final Four was there for Carolina, the Final Four was there for Arizona, and both teams just pissed it away.
Well, I mean, come on, you know the reason for that. It's a whole lot easier physically to hike up three-pointers than it is to make the effort to drive the lane, get contact, get the foul, go to the free throw line.
You're saying these kids these days are. You're saying these kids these days are soft. That's what
they're soft
saying.
And they're tired. Mm. Yep.
Mm, the old man out here calling out these punk kids these days. Listen to this shit.
We need to go back to Detroit Bad Boys basketball.
We don't need to go that far back, but there's a fine medium in there somewhere we can go back to.
If there's no stitches, there's no foul.
Well, if you have taken an elbow to the face, if you're busted open like Ric Flair 20 minutes in at the Greensboro Coliseum, if you've been undercut and landed on your back in traction now, if you had your knees taken out like Nancy Kerrigan, any of that stuff, and you need to get away, hit up our girl Wendy Prater at Magical Journeys Travel. You're out of the tournament. It's been a long season. You need a break. Go to the Caribbean, all inclusives, major cruise lines, take the family to Disney, Universal, all that stuff. And she is your point guard to run the offense for you on that. Custom-made itineraries for you and your traveling crew, dining options, entertainment options, all of that stuff. She'll take care of all of it. WP Magic Journeys on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the usual social media gimmicks. Tell Wendy you heard about her on 6 Year Senior. She'll give you $25 off your next trip deposit. Wendy Prater at Magical Journeys Travel. She makes the plans. You make the memories. Who's making some memories in some of those other tournaments?
Well, we have the semifinals of the NIT going on tomorrow, if you're listening to this as soon as this breaks. That'd be Tuesday. Seton Hall versus Georgia. Utah versus Indiana State.
Everybody's in on Indiana State, right?
Oh, we're so all in on Indiana State. How far would Indiana State have gotten in the NCAA tournament?
Depends on the draw, but I mean, well, there's an 11 seed
in the first.
There's
round.
An 11 seed in the Final Four right now. So, you know.
So they would have beaten Texas. They would have beaten Tennessee. They would have beaten Creighton and Purdue.
That might be one bridge too far here. So, but they absolutely could have made a run. Absolutely,
Robbie Avila could have taken out Zach Edey. Guarantee it.
Now I don't know if he could have taken out Dalton Connect. That's the problem here. It's sort of, you know, irresistible force, immovable object sort of deal on this. What do we got in the other ones before we talk about Purdue and Tennessee? We got some other gimmicks out there.
Well, we have a couple of champions. In the CBI, Seattle defeated High Point 77-67. So good on Seattle. I mentioned last week that Grand Canyon might be the next up-and-coming low-to-mid-major team. But frankly, Seattle, Tarleton State, they could give Grand Canyon some problems. I think the WAC might be very entertaining for the next couple of years.
Hmm. Something to keep an eye on for sure. I saw, speaking of mid-majors, that could be a problem. I am still of the opinion that the College of Charleston is a sleeping giant. They could be one of those teams. Got Chris Mack this week. Come down and take a, after the coach left to coach Louisville. I think I kind of think that Charleston got the better end of the deal there.
Yes,
nothing against Pat Kelsey. Nothing against Pat Kelsey, but that's a home run hire for the Cougars down there, so.
And in the CIT, Norfolk State won its two games to win that title, beating Purdue Fort Wayne 75-67 in the final. That was broadcast on something called Spartan Sports, which appears to be Norfolk State's home network. All the other games, except Norfolk State games, were played on ESPN+. Somehow, Spartan Sports had cachet enough to take those games away from ESPN Plus.
That's interesting. Did Norfolk State have? Did they have to play those games on back-to-back nights? Did they have to play them on the same day?
No, they did not have to play them on the same day. They got the cush situation, man. Like I said, they got all the way into the semifinals, and then I think they had 3 days break between the semi and the final game.
Well, good on Norfolk State for pulling through, taking home a little hardware, no matter what it is.
Yeah, at least they beat a team with a winning record, which is more than they did in their semifinal game.
What a scam. My God.
Let's be serious for a second, though. With how far the NIT has fallen, especially 17 teams declining the invitation, and what the CBI can put together. Could the CBI become the second best tournament in the postseason?
It will become the second best tournament in the postseason when the NIT dies. And that's not an if, that's a when. I don't quite know the path there yet. And maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe the Fox Sports gimmick jumps in here and takes it and runs. I don't know. I have no idea. But I don't think the Fox Sports gimmick wants any of the mid-majors. It just wants the Power Conference teams.
Well, but that's just it. The Power Conference has just proved that they don't want to play in the postseason if they're not in the NCAA.
Well, maybe Fox has more money they can throw at them. That's the
thing. Don't think it's about money. I don't think it's about money.
Well, yeah, and,
I think it's prestige.
Also, transfer portal. The more games we're playing here, the longer it takes for us to be able to overhaul our roster. So there's that too. All sorts of variables here, but yeah, I think there is a future where the CBI is the second most prestigious postseason tournament. It'll be interesting to see how the NIT adjusts, because what they did this year obviously didn't work.
Yeah, I think if the CBI, if the NIT does not go back to bringing in conference champs who don't get into the tournament, then I think the CBI should do exactly that. Say, hey, if you don't get into the NCAA tournament or the NIT tournament, we'll take you. And we'll make you a high seed. We'll give you the high point treatment, you know, give you a bye in the first round, whatever it takes. Expand that tournament out to 24 teams, whatever it takes again. I think you got yourself a really nice tournament. CBS Sports Network, for instance, I'm sure would be they'd love to have that on their network at that time. Sure. I'd watch it. I'm not interested in the NIT this year at all, even with Indiana State. That's the only hope.
No, whole lot of nothing.
All right, back to the NCAA basketball tournament. Let's go to the South, where North Carolina State and Duke played an all-ACC Elite Eight matchup, and NC State, who finished, I believe, eighth in the ACC this year, is going to the Final Four.
They were 10th.
10th.
They might have been tied for 8th. They might have been tied for 8th. They were the 10th seed in the ACC tournament.
Dear God. So they've now won, what would this be, 9 must-win games in a row?
Nine must-win games in a row. They were trailing Louisville with 5 minutes left in the opening round of the ACC tournament. That's how this has gone here. And I ranted 3 weeks ago about how Virginia gave them the all-time gift wrap job. I mean, this was multi-organ donation because the body was dead on the table. It was over for NC State. And Virginia decided they didn't want to win a basketball game anymore. State ties the game at the buzzer on a crazy banked-in three by Michael O'Connell, wins the game in overtime, upsets Carolina in the ACC final, exercising all the demons here, all of them. And it comes back down to, you know what, we got to beat Duke again in the South Regional Final to go to the Final Four. Carolina and Duke have taken off. The Duke-Carolina rivalry has taken off in the ESPN era, and little old State's been left behind. State exercises all the demons over the past month and beats Carolina to get into the tournament and then beats Duke to get into the Final Four. I would say in dramatic fashion, but they punched Duke in the mouth coming out in the second half and kicked Duke's ass in the second half. It wasn't close. I think once State got up 2 possessions, I don't think Duke ever got it back within a possession.
Yeah, even with the officials trying to help Duke with that cheap technical foul late in the game.
Oh my God. Like all the red flags went up. It's like, oh, here it comes. Here comes NC State shit. It's been sleeping for a month. And we're going to have the dramatic return of it. It's Duke. Duke's going to get the calls. I cannot believe they called that technical foul for Keats being out of the box. They've been out of the box all season long. Keats was on the court in the ACC tournament final. We watch it. He's out on the court at the 3-point line during play. On that end of the court, they don't call it. They're going to call it here while he's arguing a call that happened under the basket 50 feet away from him. Oh my God, so stupid. But State didn't flinch. Duke made both shots. They missed a bunny on the ensuing possession. State went down and scored. It was like, okay, no big deal at all. We're fine. Unbelievable. Just the run that State's on, I cannot comprehend it. It makes no sense whatsoever. I said here 2 weeks ago, there's no chance State's winning one game here. They're going to take their ball, go home. They already won their Super Bowl. It's over. And here they are, one of the last four teams standing. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Can DJ Burns flatten Zach Edey? I'm just like Kamala going up against, I don't know, a giant Tenru or something.
Burns scored 29 against Duke. Yeah, he gave Filipowski the business. Hey, before we get to, shout out to Kyle Filipowski for giving me an hour, a solid hour of pure entertainment Sunday afternoon. I admit, as a Carolina fan, watching State and Duke play for the right to go to the Final Four was vomit-inducing, all right? But that second half, where DJ Burns put Kyle Filipowski in the torture chamber, and every time something bad happened, they'd cut to a reaction shot of Filipowski, and he's pouting and whining and complaining, and oh my, every single one, it got more entertaining every time they showed it. To the point where Filipowski got a shot up in the corner. It was a three late in the game, and he thought he got fouled. And he immediately starts fussing and whining, and he turns to Shire on the bench. And Shire clearly on CBS tells him to shut up and play. It was, just hilarious. Filipowski's emotional meltdown over the final 60 minutes of the broadcast was some of the most entertaining Duke shit I've ever seen in my life. It got to the point where even last night, I'm going to pat myself on the back here, I created the Dante scale on Twitter. It was the Duke annual NCAA tournament entertainment value scale for how fun was it to watch Duke go out in flames in the NCAA tournament. Every year since 1993, we rated it on a scale of 1 to 10. Good shit. Go find it on Twitter. Go find the Dante scale on Twitter. It was just wild. And that DJ Burns has turned into this just cult icon is just wild. And can he give Zach Edey the business? I would love to say yes, but this is what I'm afraid of. Burns has been able to get, for the most part, get what he wants by bullying guys who are either, shorter than him or lighter than him without the same sort of touch. I think Edey is a bigger version of DJ Burns on the whole. I think he's taller. He's a rock. And I think he's got that same kind of touch that Burns does. So, and of course, somehow, in a tournament in which Duke plays, Edey gets the most favorable whistle in college basketball. I don't know how this happens. I'm terrified that Burns is going to foul out in 10 minutes. That's what I'm afraid
of. That's my fear, too. Yeah. So, let's see. Zach Edey is 7'4" and 300 pounds, according to KenPom. DJ is 6'9 and 275.
275, my ass. He's three bills. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, Burns has got about the same weight in seven fewer inches.
He's got that low center of gravity. The problem is Edey's got the reach. I don't know. I think even if Burns can outwork him on the footwork game and just all the technical stuff, I think Edey's reach is just so massive that he can adjust to all of that. That's the thing. Burns is their five, but he's not a tall guy. And he's 6'9". He's not 7 feet. There's a big difference.
Which actually means he's probably like 6'7".
Absolutely. Yeah. I just don't see how the geometry works. So it's going to come down to Horn. It's going to come down to Middlebrooks. It's going to come down to those other guys making plays here.
Middlebrooks is going to have to play 20 minutes before he fouls out. Middlebrooks is the guy who's going to have to hack a Zach, essentially.
Yeah.
And Diarra, too. If Diarra doesn't have four fouls by the end of the game, he hasn't done his job.
I like Diarra. I watched Diarra's game and I'm like, man, I wish he played for Carolina. I like that. I just that dude gets after it on the glass. He is a great fourth option. He's fantastic. I just don't know how the this is adding up to Edie going for another 40 against State, and State having, you know, Horn can get 30, Burns can get 20 maybe when Edie's not on the court. I'm struggling to see how the math adds up here for State, but I've struggled to see how the math adds up for State for the last month. And here they are. They're still playing basketball. This is clearly a team that believes in one another, and they've just got the good karma going. You cannot discount that. But I just don't see any way that they win this game against Purdue.
Well, but how many times have you said that at the start of a North Carolina State game in the last month? I would say at least the last nine, right?
Not the last nine. Here's the thing.
Okay, you thought they'd beat Louisville, I assume.
I thought they'd beat Louisville and whoever they played after that. Yeah, but I'm like, Duke, Duke was in a weird place when they played in the ACC quarters. And I'm like, you know what? I think State can win. I don't think they will, but I think they can. But then when they played Virginia, it was like, you know, Virginia's going to grind this out. They're going to suck it out. You know, State just beat Duke. That's going to be the biggest game they play. Virginia will win this game. And then they won that. Like, oh, there's no way they beat Carolina. And it's from there. So it's basically like, since they played Carolina, I haven't thought there was a game they were going to win yet. But they did. They got the lucky draw with Oakland beating Kentucky. So they didn't have to deal with Kentucky. They got Oakland on, you know, they got some bracket luck there. But it was like Marquette, oh man, this, you know, that doesn't add up. But by the time they played Duke, again, you know, they beat Duke in the ACC quarters, but it was like, you know, Duke's found their mojo now. They, you know, they beat Houston with the asterisk that we'll get to in a second.
I was going to say, they did not beat Houston. Houston lost that game.
But Duke, you know, Duke blew out James Madison in just a tremendous performance. Like, maybe Duke's got their mojo back. Not quite, but man, that State is still dancing here. Shout out to the Dukies. Way to go. Way to go. 2 out of 3 years losing in the Final Four and losing for the right to go to the Final Four against your two closest ACC neighbors in the Triangle. I cannot, you know, we've been playing this tournament for a gazillion years and that's never happened, Duke. So way to go 0-2. Against the Triangle in the NCAA tournament in the span of 3 years. Just top-notch, highest marks to the Dukies. I'm really going to miss Kyle Filipowski and his whining on TV next season because, my God, it was so entertaining.
So next year, Duke gets knocked out of the NCAA tournament by Wake Forest?
Well, it's going to skip a year. That'll be 2 years out, so...
So Wake can get themselves back together by then.
Duke's got Cooper Flagg coming in next year. They're going to go undefeated next year. That's what everybody's telling me. They're going to lose negative games. They're going to go 41-1. They're that good.
Oh, okay. Since you just mentioned negative numbers, let's get to the Marquette 3-point shooting against Carolina State. Officially 4 for 31, but I'm pretty sure they shot -3. Ridiculous. And this is a perfect example of, my God, have you not figured out that if you shoot from more than 20 feet out, you're not going to make the shot. So just drive the ball and get fouled.
It was brick after brick after brick after brick. It was so stupid watching Marquette continue to hack up shots that, I mean, you could, as soon as they left, nope, that's off. Nope, that's, I mean, most of these were not close. And they kept shooting them. And I'm like, well, does Keats have a spell on Shaka or something that he refuses to change the offense here? I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Duke gets there because Jamal Shedd injures his ankle 13 minutes into the game with Houston dominating Duke 16-10 at that point. And the Dukies, of course, win the game because Duke.
Yeah, bracket look. Yeah, check this. Duke as a 4 seed. As a 4 seed here. They go 13 seed, 12 seed. 1 seed who loses their most indispensable player early in the game. And then 11 seed. And they can't cash in to go to the Final Four. the hot seat for John Shire is going to be cooking next year because of how this season ended, and with all the pressure with the big recruiting class coming in. Take a look around the Final Four. It ain't a freshman-heavy Final Four. We're still in this era right now where having senior leadership and guys that have been around, even if it's transfer portal, they have to have been with the team. Cash in on the transfer portal and get experience and age. That's what's winning basketball games right now. So I am interested
The one and dones are over.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how Duke responds here, because they've got, we got all these dudes coming in and blah, 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 blah. That's not been the formula here in the past 5 years to how you win national championships. So it's going to be a fantastic dynamic to see how Duke rebounds off. You know, it was a disappointing regular season for the Dukies, but coming into the tournament, all of a sudden, within the span of 3 nights, we've gone from we've got a shot here to absolute disappointment in losing the way they did to NC State. Because they went out like a bunch of bitches against State. State punked them out on national television with the Final Four on the line and pulled their pants down on national TV. Duke's got the expectation at Duke is higher than that, and it will be interesting to see how the ripples come to be if the season does not go the way that the Dukies want it next year.
Are you talking like Duke losing in the first round of the NIT tournament to Robert Morris?
God, that would be great. I'm not going that far yet, but it would be awesome if that were to happen. It'd be incredible. Although you know, you talked about it a little while ago. We're in the era now. Duke's not going to the NIT.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not risking doing the JOB to Bobby Moe there. So,
all right, let's get to our final quadrant. We talked about Purdue. We talked about Zach Edey. They get to the Final Four with a 72-66 win over Tennessee. Zach Edey scoring 40 points, outdueling Dalton Connect, who had 37.
That was a great game. That was a great basketball game early Sunday. Tennessee came out hot. Purdue hit back. Purdue tried to pull away late, and Tennessee just kept coming at them. And Tennessee ran out of gas in the final segment, and Purdue was just able to stay ahead. Did Edey get some calls? Yeah. Did it ultimately matter in the game? I don't know. Connect was fantastic. This was a game worthy of a regional final between two teams that were worthy of going to the Final Four. And Purdue's finally able to get the monkey off the back. They get to the Final Four for the first time since 1980. I can't say that I hate Rick Barnes missing the Final Four again. That Tennessee team was fun. But Edey was just too much. First time in I believe it's the first time since 1990 that two guys put up 30-plus points in a regional final. And that would have been, of course, that's the UNLV Marymount game, the famous game.
Of course. Yeah.
So it kind of comes with an asterisk. You have to go back further than that to actually find a game that wasn't on absolute cocaine to fight two guys going for 30 in the regional final.
Well, you might have two guys going for 30 in the Final Four with Connecticut and Alabama. We get what we want.
Well, we'll see about that. I don't know. If Edey might get 30 and DJ Horn might get 30 in the early game. Who the hell knows? Yeah, so Purdue and State is the early game. UConn and Bama is the late game in Phoenix on Saturday.
As it should be. It's going to be the more entertaining game, and it's also your defending champion. I mean, that's the way it works.
Oh God, have you seen Hurley whining already that UConn wasn't the lead story on SportsCenter?
Oh, for crying out loud!
Yes.
What was the lead story on SportsCenter?
It was State, because State won. State pulled the upset; they beat Duke. But because that happened. Hurley's whining because we've done historic things. We should be the lead story here.
Oh my God.
When did being the lead, when was the last time being the lead story on SportsCenter meant something? 2003?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Who's now?
I don't watch SportsCenter anymore. Haven't watched it in ages.
No, I'll leave it on every now and then if Van Pelt's on, but I don't go out of my way to watch it. Here's the thing with Hurley, and God, he is a whiny, pouty, just God, he's insufferable. But I have a theory. I think he does all this just to rile up the basketball media.
Well, yeah, of course.
To put the attention on him and to take the pressure off his guys. That's what I really think that's what it is. But at some point, I think the casuals will pick up on it and really turn him heel, because it really hasn't happened yet. Which is strange.
If he wins this year, he will be number one in 2024.
Especially if he keeps up with this disrespect. Oh, woe is me. Nobody believed in us. Come on.
Hey, since we're talking about coaches whining and crying, and I don't want to make it as if this isn't valid, let's talk about Kim Mulkey real quick. In the last few days, she has taken on not only the LA Times, but the Washington Post over articles about her team. I think one of them was warranted. The other, not so much.
I haven't seen either of the articles. I know she put up a whole hissy fit about the impending Washington Post article that 40, like a moron, comes out and drops this hint on Twitter that there's a story coming. Gives her the heads up that it's happening. 40 should have shut his fucking mouth. That's what should have happened. What's the LA Times? I don't know what the LA Times story is.
Oh, dear God, you haven't seen this.
No.
So I can't remember the columnist's name, and this is the thing. This is a column, an opinion piece, not a news story. The columnist was trying to do this, you know, good versus evil, and that was the words he used, good versus evil, comparison between UCLA and LSU. And in the process of it, called the LSU basketball team dirty debutantes.
Oh.
Now, let me just say this.
Mm.
If you Google dirty debutantes, do not do it on your work computer.
Oh, no.
I don't know how many pages of Google searches you'll have to go through before you get off of porn videos.
Oh, Jesus.
But it'll take a while. Now, I don't know if he meant that connotation, but Kim Mulkey sure felt that he did. And frankly, and I've heard this from a few people, and it's deservedly so. Who was the editor that allowed him to use that terminology?
That's a good call.
I think if there was a woman in the sports department, that would have never got out. And frankly, once it had been determined what that meant, the LA Times at least did take that wording out of the story. I don't know how they replaced it or what, but dirty debutante is no longer in that column.
Good Lord.
But I mean, so she had a right. She had absolute right to rip apart the LA Times. But I don't think she had any reason to go after the Washington Post.
Well, she...
And the fact that she went after the Washington Post before she went after the LA Times has her, you know, calling wolf in my book. You know, if you're going to bitch every single time somebody says something even remotely negative about you, nobody's going to care anymore when it really matters.
True. Absolutely. She's a clown. She's a clown.
She's a clown. Yeah. But it takes the pressure off her players. And by the way, tonight, LSU and Iowa, that's going to be a hell of a game.
Somebody said this is the women's basketball version of UNLV Duke 91.
Yeah, yeah.
After it's the rematch. Watch out who you're watching the game with. The cheering will be down racial lines. Which I don't.
That's just it. If Angel Reese were white and Caitlin Clark were black, I guarantee that this would not be such an issue.
If Caitlin, let
because
me throw this
Angel
out.
Reese, white girl, would not be ripped for all her dramatic antics on the court. And I'll bet you somehow Caitlin Clark would get, she would have gotten just ripped to shreds about passing Pete Maravich's point total.
If Caitlin Clark were black, would ESPN be releasing a 96-page special edition magazine about her and everything she's done?
Hell no. Are you serious? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah. It dropped last
no
week.
Way.
Yeah.
Do you see one for Angel Reese?
Look, Angel Reese hasn't broken all the records. That's what they'd say. Leave it to ESPN to beat something into the ground, through the ground, and out the other side of the planet. Because, God, they're insufferable when it comes to this shit.
Well, come on. Remember Ja Morant.
What about him?
You remember when they finally figured out who Ja Morant was? And then it was like he was the biggest star in college basketball for the last half of that season.
Oh, yeah.
And then they dropped him as soon as he became a nutcase in the NBA. God, he is. Yeah, you build him up so you can break him down. That's the way the media works.
Look, the women's game, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The women's game is going into a great place right now. But, God, the coverage of it right now is nauseating.
See, I haven't really seen coverage of it. I mean, I watch a game every now.
This is the coverage that we're literally talking about. I'm not talking about actual coverage, because if you see a pregame show or a halftime show, that coverage is really, really good. But it's all the drama around it that I cannot deal with right now. Absolutely not. So let me change gears on this. Did you see the regional out in Portland had the wrong distance on 3-point lines? Oh, how does that happen?
Yeah, that would never happen in a men's game.
No,
never.
Absolutely not.
What was it? Just 2 years ago when they finally got, you know, weight rooms and locker facilities that were equal to the men after they exposed their weight room.
Yeah, and they, you know, they're finally able to use the March Madness branding now. And, oh, good grief.
And frankly, I think the women's Final Four might be more entertaining than the men's when it comes around. I'm not excited about the Saturday Monday games on the men's side.
We'll see. We'll see if State's got one more rabbit they can pull out of the hat. Let's go ahead and call a spade a spade. If State wins the national championship, it's the greatest NCAA tournament run of all time. And that includes Villanova, that includes NC State 83, that includes any other run you got.
It includes NC State.
Yeah, it will be the greatest championship run of all time. Here's the, you don't hear about this. If State loses the ACC tournament final in 83, they're still in the tournament. They might still be in the tournament if Carolina beat them in the semifinal. But the story now, oh, we had to win the ACC tournament. That's not true. They were a 6 seed, for God's sake. I know the tournament field was smaller back then. They would have been in.
I think it was 48 back then.
It was either 48 or 53 at that point. How'd they come up with 53? I don't know, but one year they had a 53 team field.
They had one play in. It was the year that the Mountain West, either the Mountain West or the WAC split apart and became two conferences. And instead of removing one at-large berth, they added one conference tournament berth. And that's how they got to 53.
No. I'm going to show you how old you are right now, old man. That happened in 2000. That happened in 2001, not 1983. That was 2001 when that one happened.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how they came up with a weird number like 53. Because, I mean, 48 to 49, okay. How do you get to 53? I just don't know. But, yeah, anyway, no. I mean, State's run was an all-timer, and they had to go through Virginia again after all the drama with that. And then, of course, the famous game with Houston and Jimmy V and all that stuff. What they have done over the past 3 weeks now, we'll have eclipsed that. But, they got to seal the deal. And man, the ask on that this weekend is, God, what was the spread in 83? Houston was an 8-point favorite, I think, over State in the final.
Well, man, that's a good question. About 83, there the odds were not readily available.
As Jimmy V in one of his stand-up routines claims it was 8 points, and I could see that. I could see that it was 8. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was actually more than that, but he used the number 8 in his stand-up routine. They're an 8.5-point dog to Purdue right now, and if it gets to the point where they have to face the reigning, defending national champions, it will certainly be more than that. By the way, UConn, again, they're in the Final Four, draws a 4 seed. I called it out last year, I'm going to call it out again. They have gotten more Final Four luck than any school ever, and it's not close in the final. They have, like, They played that big bad Duke team in 99 and pulled the upset. Kudos to them. Since then, the seeds of teams they have drawn in the Final Four have been absolutely ridiculous. It would only make sense if they were to draw little old 11 seed NC State one more time to keep that gimmick going. And maybe State's the team that could break this weird run of UConn of always getting to the final. They barely make the Sweet 16 on a regular basis, but when they make the Sweet 16, they make the Final Four and they win the national championship. Every time UConn has been to the Final Four, all but one, they have won the national championship. It is absolutely wild. Maybe State's the team that breaks the curse here by going through Purdue and UConn this weekend in Phoenix. That's the storyline I'm watching. UConn and Purdue would be a hell of a final. Alabama, can they run up and down the court against UConn? It'll be fun to watch them try. DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. Hope they reinforce the ring for that one. There's stuff to watch, but it might be a chore, but there's stuff to watch this weekend.
Okay, you got me hooked for at least the first half of these games now. By the way, looking at KenPom and looking at the Vegas odds, if it turns out to be North Carolina State and Connecticut, you're probably looking at a 15-point.
Oh, my God. Holy crap.
And on the other side, if it's Connecticut-Purdue, you're probably looking at Connecticut. I'd say they probably put the line right at 3 and see if the bettors move it one way or the other.
If it was 3, I'd take UConn. I was thinking 4.5.
See, I think if you do 4.5, there'd be too much money on Purdue. Because again, remember, Vegas isn't trying to get the spread right. They're trying to get 50% of the money on either side.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Because right now, if KenPom's numbers were used solely with no other consideration, the Purdue-NC State line right now would be 15.
Damn.
And Connecticut-Bama would be 12, and that one's about right. But they're giving NC State some more credit than, like, KenPom's data.
Because everybody wants to ride the wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And frankly, nine, I'm not willing to take 9. I'd want double digits with NC State. Alabama plus 11.5 I like.
It's UConn's title Monday night. I don't see a way around it. For better or worse.
Yeah, but, that's what they said about Houston against NC State. Absolutely. That's what they said about Georgetown against Villanova.
That's what they said about UNLV in 91.
Sometimes these just don't work out the same way.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've got nothing else for the listening audience. I'm fired up. I'm pissed off. And somehow, after all of this, we've gone through this entire... Y'all have got me cheering for NC State in the Final Four? My God! I've got to sign off. I've got to go shower in Clorox. And good God, get this wretched stink off me. Da 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 da. Go State! Oh my God, just shoot me now. For Chris Corchia,
go ahead. Before you sign off, we will not be back on Monday, obviously, because of the NCAA title game. We'll be back a couple days after Monday to wrap this whole thing up and the entire college football, college basketball season of 60-year seniors. Yes, this is the penultimate episode. One more to go after the Final Four.
Shout out to Brian. He's kicking everybody's ass in the 60-year seniors bracket challenge.
Oh, yes. There's that, too. God damn it.
Looks like he's running away with it.
Mikey got us off track. Yeah.
I'm fired up. State's got me worked into a shoot. Everybody's got me worked into a shoot. For Chris Corciani, Rodney Monroe, Tom Gugliotta, Derek Wittenberg, Thurl Bailey, my man Terry Gannon. Shout out to my man Terry Gannon. I love that dude. And of course, the immortal Jim Valvano. That's the best producer in the business, Alan Capps. I'm Mikey Watson. We'll be back here next week to crown a champion, talk about it, and see what's on the horizon right here on 60-year seniors.